claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Due to certain circumstances, I may not be able to take calls after the show, but if you have one, you could try emailing them to me at jfetzer, J-F-E-T-Z-E-R, at d.umn.edu. So email me questions and I'll seek to field them during the last section of the show. Jfetzer at d.umn.edu. Now, take a look at a situation we have developing here. We know from the World Health Organization that they have themselves in their own database over 2 million persons who have suffered adverse effects from taking the vax, over 2 million. We know 70% of those are female, only 30% male. We know that the prior year, there were fewer than 2,000. So there's been a 1,000-fold increase from taking the jab. And even more strikingly, the year before that, it was like 87. And before that, 2,111. So what we're having here is a phenomenon where there are more adverse effects from taking these corona vaccines, they're so-called, mislabeled, than from all vaccinations ever used in history. In other words, everyone who's taken a look at the data is aware that something catastrophic is taking place and that it is affecting a very large number of people. We even have a report which I'm unable to verify that the Chinese Communist Party is discussing their desire that the American military be vaxxed so it will be utterly incapacitated. Think about the genius of the whole program. You have a vaccine that's deadly, and yet you're given the choice between taking the vax or losing your job, or if you're in the military, taking the vax or leaving the military, possibly even running the risk of a court martial. Now, those in the Biden administration who are issuing these mandates and directives have to know the stunning incidence of adverse effects from taking the jab. It's just catastrophic. The fact is, the mainstream media has been suppressing all the data. We've been reporting it here day after day. I have done hundreds of reports. I've been doing this report about the coronavirus every day since March of 2020. March of 2020. And initially, I was doing it 7 days a week. Now cut down to five, but very often I'm doing additional interviews where it's also the subject of discussion. So no one in the Biden administration can be unaware of the devastating effects, and yet they move forward anyway. We just had the very interesting development that three Ohio judges have died unexpectedly in a 9-day span after a vax mandate in Cuyahoga County. This is extremely interesting because judges generally live such a safe and secure life that, you know, the death of a judge, particularly at a relatively young age, is quite extraordinary. No doubt these judges took the vax in the sincere belief they were going to benefit. Here's a report. Cleveland. We know that vaccines are the leading cause of coincidences, but the injections are also related to a lot of karma in 2021. We wrote a story in July about Ohio judges mandating mRNA and viral vector DNA injections as a condition of probation at sentencing for criminal defendants. Franklin County Columbus Judge David Mattia sentenced at least three people to injections at the time of publishing. Said county issued a vaccine mandate that went into effect last week. All 1,400 Franklin County employees were required to show proof of Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J injection last week or be fired. But the instant story is in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland. Two judges, Peter Corrigan and David Mattia, the same guy who sentenced at least two injections, were featured in our July story for sentencing people to mRNA and viral vector DNA injections. Cuyahoga County also has a vaccine mandate that required all employees to receive the injections by October 15th. And whether it's karma or coincidence, the story picks up from there. Nancy McDonald, Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Judge, died September 28th. McConnell has been on the Common Pleas Court in some capacity since 1997. Cleveland.com called her a trailblazer because she was the first female presiding and administrative judge on the court from 2006 to 2009. She died on Tuesday, September 28th, at age 62. Local media appear to be pinning the death on McDonald's 2009 double lung transplant. This premise does have some merit. National Health Services in the UK estimates that about half of lung transplant recipients live up to 5 years after the procedure. Many live at least 10, with a few reports of recipients living for 20 plus. McDonald was in year 12 post-transplant, yet she likely chose to receive experimental mRNA or viral vector DNA injections to keep her job. It's unclear if a doctor actually recommended the injections knowing her health history. McDonald was a state employee for well over 30 years and likely had some sort of pension. Further, she could also have retired and received Social Security benefits, but again, her death in the vax mandate could just be a coincidence. Joseph Russo, Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Judge, died October 2nd. Joseph Russo has been a Cuyahoga County judge since 2001. Note, Ohio judges are nominated by political parties, but said party does not appear on the ballot when people vote for them. He made a run at the state Supreme Court in 2008, but lost the election. Russo died on Saturday, October 2nd, at age 59. Two mainstream media outlets reported that Russo died unexpectedly. As we've seen throughout 2021, died unexpectedly in short illness are two common mainstream media terms when vax people die. Russo is also survived by his wife of 28 years and two children. Larry Jones, 8th District Court of Appeals, died October 7th. Larry Jones worked as a Cleveland area judge in some capacity for 34 years. He was a Cuyahoga County prosecutor for 1978 to 81, before elected to the Cleveland City Council. Jones was a judge in the Cleveland Municipal Court from 1988 to 2009, before his elevation to the appellate court. Once again, two mainstream media outlets reported that Jones died unexpectedly in Tampa, Florida on Thursday, October 7th. He was 68 years old. Jones is survived by his wife, two children, and one grandchild. Now, while it's unfortunate that they have died, the fact that judges are dying and appear to be dying after having taken the vax, I think is going to resonate with the public, not only in Ohio, but everyone who hears the story. Meanwhile, of course, we have the demonic Biden administration trying to push every lever, apply every pressure possible to get the American people who remain unvaccinated to take the vax. The most distressing story I've seen yet comes from the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, but where I want to lay the background first. Nearly 80,000 shipping containers are piled high in the port of Savannah, report says, as supply chain crisis shows no signs of stopping. And of course, we know that in the ports of LA and Long Beach, we have a massive backlog as well. Meanwhile, rampant theft, ongoing supply chain disruptions are leaving drugstore shelves in New York City barren, but also elsewhere. Here's a piece from Natural News. We were certain that at some point, the failure of left-wing mayors and prosecutors to go after rampant criminal activity such as shoplifting was going to turn into a major problem for the urban centers these lunatics govern. That day has finally arrived. For years, but especially over the past 12 months, George Soros-funded prosecutors and Marxist mayors like Bill de Blasio in New York City and London Breed in San Francisco have refused to crack down on petty crimes that escalate into major ones. In the name of respecting the Black Lives Matter movement, these leftists have excused all manner of bad and illegal behavior, but especially shoplifting. Video clips of shoplifting gangs posted online show numerous individuals emptying store shelves of cosmetics, drugs, and other supplies into garbage bags before sprinting out of the stores unmolested. And they continue to rob retailers blind because, again, the leftists who run these cities aren't concerned about prosecuting those crimes because quite often they appear to involve persons of color. So naturally, prosecuting them would be racist, even in California, apparently, where whites are no longer the majority. Well, here comes the stunner. And I realize I may have reported this before, but it's so significant, it certainly bears repeating. U.S. Treasury Secretary warns unvaxxed Americans that the shortage will continue until everyone is jabbed. The Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Treasury has put Americans on notice that the only way to end the plague of empty shelves around the country is for every resident to be vaccinated. The frank warning came off as a threat to many. Wally Adebayo, the Biden administration's second highest official in the Treasury Department, appeared to publicly blackmail the still sizable portion of Americans who have not been vaccinated against COVID-19 during a Thursday ABC interview, seemingly blaming them for the ongoing shortages of consumer goods that have led many to mock the president as empty shelves Joe. Despite viral photos depicting thousands of cargo ships lined up at the Port of Los Angeles, ready to unload their goods, Adamio claimed that the supply chain issue plaguing so many U.S. retailers are an international issue and will only let up when a sufficient percentage of the country has been vaccinated. Now ask yourself, what in God's name does whether you're vaxxed or not have to do with unloading cargo ships at the major ports of the nation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That means this is clearly a policy decision on behalf of the Biden administration to try to extort. This is a form of extortion. Those who remain unvaccinated for very good reasons in order to have food on their table. I mean, this is just an atrocity. This is the kind of action you might expect from a dictator or a tyrant. And it appears clear that that is the role, the function that Biden has assumed. Describing the disastrous economic conditions as an economy in transition, Adeyemo acknowledged that we are seeing high prices for some of the things people have to buy. While he praised the administration's stimulus payments, he also pinned the blame squarely on the unvaccinated. Quote, the reality is that the only way we're going to get to a place where we work through this transition is if everyone in America and everyone around the world gets vaccinated. While the ABC reporter repeatedly suggested the country's shortages of toilet paper and other panic buy items could be traced to international supply chain disruptions, a growing number of Americans are demanding answers regarding the weirdly specific nature of certain products missing from store shelves. Some have even voiced doubt concerning whether the shortage are being introduced deliberately, either to gin up hatred against the unvaccinated or keep Americans economically off balance as they grow accustomed to the wild disruptions of the pandemic. Well, have no doubt about it. This is 100% a deliberate policy decision, manipulation, a form of extortion, a form of coercion, which in and of itself violates the Nuremberg Code and the right to informed consent, where an individual deciding whether or not to take an experimental medical procedure, and these mRNA vaccines remain authorized for experimental use only, which, by the way, exempts there for being responsible for listing the products, the ingredients, which are horrifying. I'll get to that too today. Ingredients are absolutely horrifying. Adamio did the Biden cabinet no favors by adding fuel to the conspiratorial fire, explaining the primary reason Biden continues to push for everyone to be vaccinated is that only then could the White House provide the resources the American people need to make it to the other side of the supply chain problem. In other words, he's going to let us starve. He's going to deprive us of drugs. He's going to deprive us of necessary elements for surviving on a day-to-day basis unless we get vaxxed. I can't imagine a more damnable attitude for a guy who feigns to be president of the United States. This is disgusting beyond belief. Despite blaming the international shipping industry for empty shelves in the U.S., the media establishment has acknowledged that the ports of L.A. and Long Beach, which together processed 40% of the nation's import, had their busiest years on record last year, giving the lie to the notion that the products missing from American shelves simply don't exist. Disgusting. If you thought that was bad, here's this. Virtually a topper. Biden orders VA to withhold health benefits from unvaccinated veterans. President Joe Biden has ordered the Department of Veterans Affairs to withhold health care benefits from unvaccinated veterans as part of an aggressive new initiative to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. beginning November 1st, just a few days hence. Any veteran seeking medical care at a VA facility must have had at least one shot of the vaccine to receive services under their medical benefits package. The executive order is one of several new rules to combat the Delta variant, including vaccine requirements for federal workers, large employers, and healthcare staff. Remember now, Biden announced that OSHA's done nothing to implement it. It's just a bluff. And the idea of the Delta variant, that's just absurd. Anyone who has a jab and has symptoms therefrom, they're trying to blame on some other virus as though the jab actually worked. Well, it does work in inducing death and bringing about severe damage to those who receive it. That's what's going on. In a televised speech Thursday, the president called upon veterans to continue their service to the United States, saying their debt to the country must be paid in perpetuity. Actually, you know, historically, and I'm a former Marine Corps officer and know whereof I speak, we've always heard that the country has a debt to the veterans in perpetuity. It's a country's debt to the vets, not the vets' debt to the country, where they have served their nation in its national defense and in many cases risked their lives in combat. As with so many other things in our country, Biden said, veterans are part of the problem when they should be part of the solution. We promise to take care of you in return for your service to this country. You promised us your life. Now it's time to help us protect you before we let you die some other way because you failed to avoid dying a way we didn't want you to. If this doesn't make sense to you, have a little faith. There is great honor in doing what you're told, Biden said. Yes, just exactly the words we'd expect from a tyrant or a dictator. And this abuse of veterans is calamitous. This is going to open the eyes. This is going to be a ice water in the face of every American military, whether you're commissioned, non-commissioned, you're going to understand this is a betrayal of a magnitude heretofore unimaginable. Biden continues, you are willing to fight and die from your country. You're willing to take a bullet in the head for next to nothing, get blown to bits over Afghanistan, but you won't let us pump some mRNA molecules into your arm, the president continued. It's time to get real. Some of you are behaving like some real wise guys here, some real dummies. Wise guy, dum-dum boys, as my father used to say, enough is enough. So sit down and get the dang shot. Do what we tell you to do and continue your service to this great country or go without your health care benefits. The health is yours. Damn Joe Biden. Damn anyone who supports such a policy. This is unbelievable. This is disgusting beyond belief. The man is obviously completely unqualified to be in the office he has obtained under fraudulent means by the massive theft of the election. This is as bad as it gets. There are around 19 million U.S. veterans who will be affected by the order, including, by the way, friends of mine. VA officials have said roughly 10% of veterans have indicated they're not interested in getting the shots. Nearly 50% remained unvaccinated as of July, when the department's most recent data was released. Asked how strict the VA would be in applying the rules with veterans facing more acute health crises, the president said it would be a zero-tolerance policy. Well, let's shoot up Joe Biden with a whole bunch of this stuff, see how he likes it. He faked taking his booster shot, and believe it or not, it was on a sound stage. We even have photographs where you can see where the stage ends and the audience begins. It's grotesque, grotesque. There will be no exceptions to this policy, Biden said. If you walk into a VA hospital for cancer treatment and aren't vaccinated, the shot will go up your behind before you start chemo. It's that simple. Protect yourself and others from COVID-19 or we'll stop protecting you from everything else. Comprehende, Negranos? Veterans blasted the president's decision. This is the most grotesque statement to ever come from any president in the history of the United States. It should go without saying that this order makes no sense whatsoever, said VFW spokesperson Tommy Fitzhugh. This administration is jeopardizing the health of American veterans by claiming to have an interest in their health and well-being. Joe Biden is out of his mind, literally. I just don't trust the government, especially after my experience in the service and watching how they handle business and care for the people they're supposed to represent, said U.S. Army veteran and Ohio resident John Bigaballs. We just witnessed a complete debacle in Afghanistan where 13 American service members died because of our incompetent and hasty withdrawal. Why did I even fight over there again? Nothing is what it seems. They'll let me drink myself to death, drive myself crazy with PTSD, live in the street, but COVID-19 is the end of the world all of a sudden? Things never quite add up. It doesn't seem fair not to have a choice under the circumstances. Others are ready for it to be all over. I am homeless and do not care whether I live or die, said former Marine Tony Franks, a.k.a. Tony the Who Gives an F About Any of This, S-H-I-T. The only shot I want is one to the head. Asked to respond to veterans' concerns, a White House spokesperson echoed the president's view. We are no longer fighting wars overseas. We're fighting a war right here at home against the stupidity of the American people. People die every day from myriad causes, but dying of COVID-19 when there's a vaccine available is unacceptable. Suicide, drug overdoses, homicide, fatal accidents, these are all tragedies too, but we can deal with them. COVID-19 deaths aren't something we will tolerate. Government out. Remember the insanity involved here. The protected, those who are vaxxed, need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use a protection that didn't protect the protected. If the vaccine worked, this whole thing is as absurd as it gets. Meanwhile, we'll be back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Bear in mind, as I observed at the beginning of the show, Mitchell has family medical issues to deal with and cannot field your calls. That means during the final segment of the show, I can't speak with you directly. However, if you will email any questions or comments you have, I'll be glad to share those and respond to them. So the email is jfetzer@d.umn.edu. There's an alternative address I might find easier, jim@moonrockbooks.com. Either way, jim@moonrockbooks.com, maybe that's simpler, easier, or jfetzer@d.umn.edu. Now, here's a highly relevant report I just received now over the break. Shrink the world's population. Secret 2009 meeting of billionaires, Good Club. For more than 10 years, meetings, and this is, by the way, from Global Research, Michael Chasadowski, he's completely reliable. This guy's a brilliant scholar. I've been familiar with his work for decades. Meanwhile, he's reporting, for more than 10 years, meetings have been held by billionaires described as philanthropists to reduce the size of the world's population, culminating with a 2020-2021 COVID crisis. Recent developments suggest that depopulation is an integral part of the so-called COVID mandates, including the lockdown policies and the mRNA vaccine. Flashback to 2009. According to the Wall Street Journal, billionaires try to shrink world's population. In May 2009, the billionaire philanthropist met behind closed doors at the home of the president of the Rockefeller University in Manhattan. This secret gathering was sponsored by Bill Gates. They called themselves the Good Club. Among the participants were the late David Rockefeller, Warren Buffett, George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, Ted Turner, Oprah Winfrey, and many more. In May of 2009, the Wall Street Journal, as well as the Sunday Times, reported that some of America's leading billionaires have met secretly to consider how their wealth could be used to slow the growth of the world's population and to speed up improvements in health and education. The emphasis was not on population growth, such as Planned Parenthood, but on depopulation, a reduction in the absolute size of the world's population. And there are citations here. You can go to Global Research and you'll find this, perhaps their most recent publication. According to the Sunday Times report, the philanthropists who attended a summit convened on the initiative of Bill Gates, a Microsoft co-founder, discussed joining forces to overcome political and religious obstacles to change. Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy, said the summit was unprecedented. We only learned about it afterwards by accident. Normally, these people are happy to talk good causes, but this is different. Maybe because they don't want to be seen as a global cabal. Another guest said there was nothing as crude as a vote, but a consensus emerged that they would back a strategy in which population growth would be tackled as a potentially disastrous environmental, social, and industrial threat. This is something so nightmarish that everyone in this group agreed it needs big brain answers, said the guest. Why all the secrecy? They wanted to speak rich to rich without worrying anything they said would end up in the newspapers, painting them as an alternative world government. The media reports on the May 5th, 2009 secret gathering focused on the commitment of the Good Club to slowing down the growth of the world's population. Shrink the world's population, the Wall Street Journal title, goes beyond Planned Parenthood, which consists in reducing the growth of world population. It consists of depopulation, which ultimately requires reducing the rate of birth, which includes reduced fertility, coupled with significant increases in death rates. On April 25th, 2009, the World Health Organization, headed by Margaret Chan, declared a public health emergency of international concern. And a couple of weeks later, the Good Club met in New York City at the height of the H1N1 swine flu pandemic, which turned out to be a scam. It's also worth noting that at the very height outset of the H1N1 crisis in April of 2009, Professor Neil Ferguson of Imperial College was advising Bill Gates and the WHO. 40% of people in the UK could be infected with N1H1 within the next 6 months if the country was hit by a pandemic. Sound familiar? That was the same Neil Ferguson, generously supported by the Gates Foundation, who designed the coronavirus lockdown model launched on March 11, 2020, as we recall. That March 2020 mathematical model was based on predictions of 600,000 deaths in the UK. Actually, it was like 2.2 million in the US and at least 500,000 in the UK if there were not an immediate lockdown. And now, summer, autumn of 2021, a third authoritative mathematical model by the same scientist, Ferguson, was formulated to justify a fourth wave lockdown. Was an absolute reduction in the world population contemplated that May 2009 secret meeting? A few months later, Bill Gates, in his TED presentation of February 2010 pertaining to vaccination, confirmed the following. And if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that world population by 10 or 15%. According to Gates' statement, this would represent an absolute reduction in the world population on the order of 680 million to 1.02 billion. I believe, in fact, their agenda is far more ambitious than that. First, we've got population. The world today is 6.8 billion. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job with new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3, meaning, I think, absent an intervention. The same group of billionaires who met at the May 2009 secret venue at Rockefeller University have been actively involved from the outset of the COVID crisis in designing the lockdown policies applied worldwide, including the mRNA vaccine and the WEF's, World Economic Forum's Great Reset. The mRNA vaccine is not a project of a UN intergovernmental body, such as the World Health Organization, on behalf of member states of the UN. It's a private initiative. The billionaire elites who fund and enforce a vaccine project worldwide are eugenicists committed to depopulation. I think that's 100% correct. I think there's no serious doubt about it. Now, if you don't find that troubling enough, consider the following. We have a report from that the Chinese Communist Party has been discussing what's going on here. Here is the report from the website Prepare for Change. China Communist Party bosses discuss vaccine impact on U.S. military forces, say everyone who took the vaccine is dead, authored by Edward Morgan, October 21st. A horrifying video conference from inside China has been intercepted by intelligence sources, and in it, bosses from the Chinese Communist Party discuss the future of the United States after distribution of the vaccine. Everyone who took the vaccine is dead, meaning, I take it, dead men walking if they're not already literally dead. The leaked segment of the intercepted video conference begins with the communist boss who organized the video telling the other participants what the CCP wants most is to have U.S. troops be vaccinated. The speaker goes on to say, once they are vaccinated, the U.S. military will collapse and the Chinese Communist Party will triumph. It goes on. The people who are implementing the vaccination are soon to be finished. Those who are pushing the vaccination behind the scenes will likely have achieved their goals. Then shockingly, in the same video, they talk about an antidote. Vaccination will no longer be pushed and the antidote will be certainly offered. At this point, one of the conference participants, shocked, interrupted and asked, the antidote will pop up. Another comes in asking, what is the antidote for? The main conference speaker replies, it's not to heal the damage brought by the vaccines. It's to prevent you from transmitting the virus instead of a remedy for the vaccines. He then delivers blunt facts. Those who were vaccinated are sentenced to death. The antidote for the vaccines is still in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. Since the Chinese Communist Party wants you to die, how would they offer the antidote to you, the Baoviac vaccine of China? The leaked segment abruptly ends there. Now, Brian Chilhavey, the editor of Health Impact News, has been making a lot of very, very good, serious, sober reports. Here's what he's got now. For the third time this year, the U.S. Supreme Court has denied a motion to halt mandatory COVID-19 vaccines, this time declining to block a vaccine requirement imposed on Maine healthcare workers. Here's from the Associated Press. The U.S. Supreme Court declined Tuesday to block a vaccine requirement imposed on Maine healthcare workers, the latest defeat for opponents of vaccine mandates, which, by the way, so far as I can see, have no warrant under the law and are clear violations of the Nuremberg Code. So I'm disgusted by this, just as I was when the Supreme Court declined to review the Texas lawsuit over the election, which very clearly delineated the way in which four key states Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin had violated their own laws and protocols to conduct their voting and election selection of their electors. This was as clear-cut a case for the Supreme Court to handle as any in its history, in my estimation. That it was declined was an insult and a black stain on the court that it can never erase. This new case was the first time the Supreme Court weighed in on statewide vaccine mandates. It previously rejected challenges of mandates in New York City for New York City teachers and Indiana University staff and students. I have a certain affection for IU, having earned my PhD in the history and the philosophy of science there. Justice Stephen Breyer rejected the emergency appeal, but left the door open to try again as the clock ticks on Maine's mandate. The state will begin enforcing it on October 29th, 4 days hence. The Maine vaccine requirement that was put in place by Democrat Governor Janet Mills requires hospital and nursing home workers to get vaccinated or risk losing their jobs. Opponents tried to block the mandate, but a federal judge rejected the request October 13th. The judge said the record indicated regular testing alone wasn't sufficient to stop the spread of the Delta variant. That decision set off a flurry of emergency appeals to the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and then the U.S. Supreme Court. Both conservative and liberal judges on the court have now ruled in favor of Big Pharma, showing this is a nonpartisan issue. Meanwhile, you can find this on your blog. Relief from COVID vaccine tyranny will not come from the courts, as U.S. Supreme Court denies right to refuse shots by New York City teachers. The only ones who can stop the eugenics population control program destroying the United States now are we the people. U.S. veterans prepare for war. There are about 19 million military veterans in the United States, and more are being added to the number every day, as thousands of active duty military are refusing to comply with the COVID vaccine mandates and are being discharged. These men and women the United States has previously invested in and trained for war have no intention of idly sitting by and watching the United States become a medical police state. A group of these veterans have banded together to produce some documentaries and issue a national security alert. They claim to be nonpartisan and representative of all Americans, regardless of ethnicity, religion, or political affiliation. They have produced a 4.5-hour video documentary and a shorter 38-minute one about preparing for war, which I will embed here in this article from their channel. I've also uploaded a copy to Health Impact News BitChute channel as well for greater exposure. Mind that, that's not me, Jim Fetzer. That's a Health Impact News editor. Be forewarned that the language is graphic, as can be expected when a bunch of military vets get angry. Here's a description of the video. U.S. veterans preparing for war. The Biden administration is denying VA health care to all non-vax veterans. The tactical fascist vax purge of the U.S. military is now happening. Make no mistake. It is the most devastating blow to military readiness in the history of the United States. It is a blatant act of war against the American people. Hundreds of thousands of newly discharged U.S. military service members, police, doctors, and nurses are now joining forces with veterans to defend our country against this global fascist takeover attempt. They are presently forming a decentralized, asymmetric defense of our homeland. Here's a brief statement to give you a little taste of what's featured in this courageous and awe-inspiring video. This is the land of the free. We will not allow forced injections, segregation, or an authoritarian surveillance control grid passport system. We have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies. We will do everything in our power to keep the peace. We, the combat veterans and special force veterans of America, know the horrors of war all too well. We will be strategic, disciplined, and surgical. We know who the leading perpetrators are. And if they do not stand down, cease and desist, if they keep trying to oppress our people and enslave our nation, if they keep stripping away our freedom and our rights, those fascistic enemy combatants will be held personally accountable. Do you think we do not know what is going on? You released a bioweapon. Then you systemically shut down life-saving treatments, leading to millions of unnecessary deaths. You strategically censored doctors, nurses, medical experts, scientists, journalists, intel community members, and soldiers. Now you are injecting millions of people with a weaponized spike protein in an immune system degrading, gene-altering nanotech vax. You have committed crimes against humanity on a global scale. Your power-addicted, pathological, short-sighted greed has destroyed our economy and severely inhibited people's abilities to provide for their families. Your power-addicted, pathological. You have rigged our political and economic system, burying people in inescapable debt. You have captured and corrupted both our political parties and the government agencies that are supposed to protect the civilian population from predatory global interests. You have captured and corrupted our information and communication systems. You are trying to cut off our ability to get health care and move freely throughout our communities. You are contaminating our water supply and systematically destroying our food supply, which you've been systemically poisoning for years as standard operating procedure. Your long list of systemic abuses and usurpations amount to absolute despotism. Your wickedly evil corruption is now infecting all aspects of our lives. We have had enough. The line has been drawn. We represent every race, creed, and ethnicity. Your divide and conquer psyops don't fly here. We know you tactically deploy psyops and stoke identity politics to silo off regional civilian populations into the smallest possible demographics to incite tribalism and make us fight amongst each others while distracting us from being laser focused on you, the head of the snake. We have found common ground against you, our common enemy. We all want to live in a free and healthy community that gives our children the opportunity to fulfill their potential. We will defend our country, our communities, and our families. We will defend our homes from this fascist invasion. De oppresso liber, semper fi. Join our social network here. Let us know what you are doing to defend your family with a link to POGSOF.com. POGSOF.com. Check it out. Check it out. Meanwhile, we have old continuity government orders to stand by for the COVID-19 pandemic, and it will not surprise me if, in this case, under these circumstances, where it looks as though an effort is going to be made to resist the tyranny, that the leadership of the government may seek to move underground. These orders were initially given way back when, reported about on March 18, 2020, which is about the time I began reporting on all the coronavirus. And I believe these still remain in place. Listen to this. For the first time in the modern history of the United States, the Department of Defense has been given standby orders to ensure the continuity of government in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. These extraordinary measures, which include evacuating White House officials to remote quarantined locations and devolving the nation's leadership to second-tier officials, were originally meant for the aftermath of a nuclear war. However, according to Newsweek, above top secret contingency plans are now in place in case the nation's constitutional power successors are incapacitated by the pandemic. standby orders have been issued for a series of plans under the U.S. North Command, which was created in response to the 9/11 attacks as a Homeland Defense military authority. Now, notice, in March of 2020, the president of the United States was Donald J. Trump. Joe Biden only came in and began serving in January of 2021. And look at the damage, the destruction he has wrought in the few short months he's been in office. An added complication to these plans is that the military itself is vulnerable to the coronavirus pandemic, which makes for extraordinary circumstances, said Newsweek. In recognition of this vulnerability, the Department of Defense has instituted unprecedented restrictions for off-base activities of military personnel, having first banned overseas travel. The Pentagon is now keeping all uniformed personnel on or nearby military bases across the country and the world. Newsweek added several other national security agencies are following the Pentagon's contingency plans and that continuity personnel at the White House are readying for an evacuation. Now, that troubles me on multiple grounds, and where Donald Trump now in making appearances, if he talks about the vaccine in warp speed, he is being booed. And I believe that is completely 100% appropriate, that Trump should be being booed for those actions, which I believe, however, at the time he felt were responsible, but where it's no longer reasonable to entertain the idea that these actually could be appropriate. I'll have more to report when we come back from the break. Some of which is you're going to find to be very, very distressing. Stand by. I repeat, Mitchell's not here. So if you want to send me a question or comment, mail it to jim@moonrockbooks.com. Remember the plural, jim@moonrockbooks.com. And I'll do my best to field whatever comments or inquiries I receive. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me just say, some of the reports we're getting are profoundly disturbing. Here's one. Children under military escort secretly vaccinated at U.S. middle schools. Over 300 children killed. I'm going to try to play this. You won't be able to see, but the video is really of this facility at the back of a school where teenagers at a middle school are being escorted out. This is military in camouflage doing, you know, so that they're being intimidated. I find all this completely outrageous. Let me see if I can, yes, make sure that the, I think I know how to guarantee you'll be able to hear it. It'll just take me a second to set up. Very, very, very disturbing stuff. And then we have a report from
Putin gave a speech about what's happening to the West. It's completely stunning stuff. Let me see now if this about the vaccine mandates in the middle school is gonna work or not. Let me give it a try.
Cool. Can't hear it.
I'm being told now that you can't actually hear this audio, so I'll discontinue the video. It's pretty powerful because it's showing all these students, all these young people being escorted out to a little setup behind the school. This is a middle school. And being given the vaccination in order to conceal it from the public, this is without parental consent. This is completely disgusting. Let me highlight a few other developments here before I turn to Vladimir Putin's observations of what's taking place. The State Department, well, here we go. How Google hides the truth. I mean, I'm not going to go through these articles. I'm just giving you the headline. How Google hides the truth about the dangers of COVID-19 vaccines. Austria considering implementing lockdown for unvaccinated people. Who accidentally confirms COVID is no more dangerous than the flu? Florida's top doc removed from a meeting over mask refusal. He wasn't willing to put on a mask for very good reasons. This is absolutely stunning stuff. Very bad. And of course, there's some truly disgusting stories about Anthony Fauci that'll make you want to vomit. Meanwhile, Border Patrol detains record 1.66 million illegal immigrants in the fiscal 2021 year already, because he's running these immigrants right into the country, no borders, flying them off to swing states, for example, but in some cases making mistakes. For example, a lot of them were flown into Westchester County. Well, that the wealthiest county in the country. They're not going to be happy about that. Now, I mentioned Vladimir Putin has made a speech. Well, obviously, it's in Russian. So what I shall do is simply read the transcription. You'll be able to hear it in the background, but I will just read. Crime against humanity, Putin's breakdown of wokeness. We look in amazement at the processes underway in the countries, which have been traditionally looked at as the standard bearers of progress, of course. The social and cultural shocks that are taking place in the United States and Western Europe are none of our business. We are keeping out of this. Some people in the West believe that an aggressive elimination of entire pages from their own history, reverse discrimination against the majority in the interests of a minority and the demanding the mother, father, family, and even gender, they believe that all these are the mileposts on the path towards social renewal. The advocates of so-called social progress believe they're introducing humanity to some kind of a new and better consciousness. Godspeed, hoist the flags, as we say, go right ahead. The only thing I want to say now is that their prescriptions are not new at all. It may come as a surprise to some people, but Russia has been there already. After the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks, relying on the dogmas of Marx and Engels, also said they would change existing ways and customs. And not just political or economic ones, but the very notion of human morality and the foundations of a healthy society. The destruction of age-old values, religion, and relation between people, up to and including the total rejection of family, we add that too. Encouragement to inform on loved ones. All this was proclaimed progress, and by the way, was widely supported around the world back then. It was quite fashionable, same as today. The fight for equality and against discrimination has turned into aggressive dogmatism bordering on absurdity. When the works of the great authors of the past, such as Shakespeare, are no longer taught at schools or universities because their ideas are believed to be backward. The classics are declared backward and ignorant of the importance of gender or race. In Hollywood, memos are distributed about proper storytelling and how many characters of what color or gender should be in a movie. This is even worse than the ancient prop department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Countering acts of racism is necessary, noble cause, but the new cancel culture has turned it into reverse discrimination, that is, reverse racism. The obsessive emphasis on race is further dividing people, when the real fighters for civil rights dream precisely about erasing differences and refusing to divide people by skin color. I specifically asked my colleagues to find the following quote from Martin Luther King. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their character. Actually, content of their character. This is a true value. However, things are turning out differently there, meaning in the United States. By the way, the absolute majority of Russian people do not think the color of a person's skin or their gender is an important matter. Each of us is a human being. That is what matters. In a number of Western countries, the debate over men's and women's rights has turned into a perfect phantasmagoria. Zealots of these new approaches even go so far as to abolish these concepts altogether. Anyone who dares mention that men and women actually exist, which is a biological fact, risks being ostracized. Parent number one and parent number two, birthing parent instead of mother, human milk replacing breast milk, because it might upset the people who are unsure about their own gender. I repeat, this is nothing new. In the 1920s, the so-called Soviet culture traggers also invented some newspeak, believing they were creating a new consciousness and changing values that way. Not to mention some truly monstrous things when women are taught from an early age that a boy can easily become a girl and vice versa. Not to mention the teachers actually impose on them a choice we all supposedly have. They do so while shutting the parents out of the process and forcing the child to make decisions that can upend their entire life. They do not even bother to consult with child psychologists. Is a child at this age even capable of making a decision of this kind? Coin a spade, this verges on a crime against humanity as being done in the name and under the banner of progress. Well, if someone likes this, let them do it. I've already mentioned that in shaping our approaches. We will be guided by a healthy conservatism. That was a few years ago when passions in the international arena were not yet running as high as they are now, although, of course, we can say that clouds are gathering every now and then. Now when the world is going through a structural reform the importance of reasonable conservatism as a foundation for political skyrocketing. The importance of reasonable conservatism as a foundation for a political course has skyrocketed precisely because of the multiplying risks and dangers and the fragility of the reality around us. I mean, that's the president of Russia. Why is the president of the United States saying things like this? Because he's embraced the absurdities. He's promoting them. What we have going on in the United States is disgusting beyond belief. Disgusting beyond belief. And the guy who's there doing all this, frankly, he's a complete fraud. It's not even the senator from Delaware of 35 years standing. Here we have a couple of the more recent absurdities that don't rise to the level of those I've just been describing. Biden's own court packing commission recommends against packing the court. Democrats are infuriated. Biden appointed a commission expressly to recommend packing the Supreme Court. The commission has come out generally opposed to the plan. Lots of laughing out loud. Biden's plan backfired on him. How did the Democrats produce this failure of almost Republican proportions? Maybe they were just following the law. They were legal experts, by the way. The official word was the group was divided over its recommendation whether to pack the court with additional justices or other reforms, such as term limits for court justices. But it didn't help that even some liberal justices have opposed packing the court. Justice Stephen Breyer, someone the left wants to retire right away to replace with a justice more liberal than he, has said he doesn't like the idea. So did Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God rest her soul. She came out against the idea as well before her death. There's another problem. Packing the court with new leftist judges makes the court obviously partisan, more so than Democrats already claim. The answer to partisan control isn't giving the other party more control. Sure, there's room for some improvements, but the Supreme Court has served our nation well for the nation's history. We don't have to pack it. We just need to let the justices do their job. Biden might just consider the same approach of doing his job to actually help solve some of the problems he continues to create. Well, as most of you are aware, from the time of the very first debate with Donald Trump, it was apparent to me this was not the original Joe Biden from Delaware, but some kind of body double. James Woods, the actor, was the first to notice the difference in their eye color. The new guy was brown, Biden's were blue. A pharmacist has confirmed my reports about it, discovering their handwriting, their signatures are completely different. As a one-time student of graphology, that's a tell. It's clearly not the same person. Not only that, but they have different skull shapes. One is a brachycephalic, the other is a dicocephalic. They're very, very different. One type of skull cannot be transformed into another. The dicocephalic has a longer face with a longer distance of eyes to mouth than the brachycephalic, which was the real Joe Biden. I'm telling you. I did a very extensive program with David Zublik on his inner circle just last week on Wednesday evening. We went through 30 or 40 photographs of the real guy and the fake guy, and there's no question about it, absolutely none. So everything about this administration is phony and fake. Everything about this administration, everything is phony and fake. We had an illegitimate election. The guy wasn't legitimately elected. Trump was reelected by a massive margin. Then they manipulated the outcome. Sidney Powell shared then a voting map where the country was virtually red from coast to coast. California went Republican. Minnesota went Republican. I'd been predicting both. But they stole the election. And now today you're censored massively if you raise any questions about the election. January 6th, or any questions about the vaccine and the pandemic. Well, mind you, the pandemic is fake, but the vaccine is real. It's a stunning situation we're in. When we return, I'm looking for anyone who wants to write to me at Jim@moonrockbooks.com, for example, Jim@moonrockbooks.com, for example. Send me any questions or comments. Otherwise, I have a fascinating interview with Finian Cunningham, who's very good, really quite brilliant, at Foreign Affairs, that I'll share with you when we return from the break. I miss, of course, having you call in. That would be terrific. I like that part of the show especially because everyone has the opportunity to share their views. Our first time callers to think about it for the future. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it was a pretty fascinating interview Finian Cunningham had with Michael Brenner, who's himself a professor and very knowledgeable about international affairs, that I want to share with you. The situation with regard to foreign policy is completely chaotic. You're going to get the gist of this, and I think fully appreciate it. Finian Cunningham writes, "We need something like the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 when the U.S. and Soviet Union came to the brink of nuclear war in order to get people's heads screwed on straight," says Michael Brenner in an interview with Finian Cunningham. "In a stark assessment of U.S. international policy and that of its allies, Professor Michael Brenner says there's an abject failure of political leadership and strategic thinking. This is clearly seen with regard to Washington's persistent antagonism of China and its inability to conduct meaningful dialogue and diplomacy with Beijing for resolving major issues. That is also the case with regard to Europe's frigid attitude toward Moscow. Such crass conduct of international relations is not only self-defeating for the United States and its Western allies, it is creating the dangerous conditions for fatal miscalculation leading to war. Brenner contends that the world might have to face the brink of destruction before some level of sanity prevails in Washington and other Western capitals. It is lamentable that the lack of strategic thinking and political leadership in the United States is driving the rest of the world to the abyss." Michael Brenner is Emeritus Professor of International Relations at the University of Pittsburgh. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for Transatlantic Relations. Previously, he held teaching and research appointments at Cornell, Stanford, Harvard, MIT, Brookings Institute, University of California, San Diego, and was a distinguished visiting fellow at the National Defense University. He's authored several books on international politics, including Toward a More Independent Europe. I observe there's no doubt he is fully qualified to address these issues. Finian asks, "U.S. President Joe Biden has repeatedly said he does not want a Cold War with China, yet Biden has made provocative moves to antagonize Beijing, for example, his vocal support for militarily defending Taiwan against alleged aggression from the Chinese mainland. Is this deliberate strategic ambiguity or plain incoherence in the U.S. policy toward China?" Michael Brenner, "Any ascription of a coherent strategic design to the Biden administration is misplaced. There clearly isn't any. Second key point, Biden's control over his national security team is tenuous. For example, the day after telling China's President Xi Jinping on the phone that he doesn't want to fight with China, senior U.S. officials were meeting with Taiwan officials in Geneva to discuss the opening of a representative office in Washington in violation of the 1972 accords that formed the basis of the One China policy established in 1979 under then-President Carter. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman et al. Are unanimous in their view of China as a lethal threat to American dominance, and they believe that a confrontational approach is the only logical response. There is no minority view inside or outside the Biden administration. Only Biden's domestic advisors are skeptical on strictly political grounds. War or near war is an election loser." Finian, "Are you concerned the U.S. is lurching toward an all-out war with China?" Brenner, "That is not the intent. Danger is miscalculation. Washington thinks that it can bluff the People's Republic of China. They're wrong. Look at Hong Kong. Washington thinks only in terms of coercion because that's the only thing they're capable of, and because winner take all is the only strategic concept they're mentally capable of understanding. There's not a diplomatic statesman anywhere in the Biden administration. It is the Pentagon that is cautious because all their war games tell them that the U.S. would lose in a conventional war with China. Finian. Washington blames China for the deterioration in international relations, accusing Beijing of malign expansion and of domineering Asian neighbors. Are there any grounds to substantiate these American claims, or is blatant U.S. hypocrisy and scaremongering? Brenner, the record is clear. The balance of responsibility for deteriorating relations lies with the U.S. The only exception, perhaps, is over the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea, where Beijing has built controversial military aircraft landing facilities. Washington's rhetoric is relentlessly hostile to the point of insulting, and we are shredding any remaining bilateral agreement over Taiwan, the PRC's red line. Finian, the new military pact between the U.S., Britain, and Australia, known as AUKUS, took international media by surprise, seemingly announced out of the blue last month. You have expressed doubts about its strategic capability, describing it as a slapdash arrangement. Should China or Russia be worried about this new AUKUS pact in terms of their security? Brenner, I suspect that only their military people are taking it seriously, and in practical terms, the U.S. naval base in Perth, Western Australia, won't be operational for another 25 years or so. The U.S. would like to see it as a key base where submarines with nuclear weapons could harbor. The Australian electorate probably has other ideas. Otherwise, it's another political gesture to achieve two ends, place an immovable obstacle in the place of cordial Sino-Australian relations and tighten the United States' grip on Canberra's foreign policy in the Asia-Pacific region. Finian, all three, AUKUS, that's Australia, US, and UK members, stand to lose economically if relations with China slump further. The economies of the U.S., Britain, and Australia rely heavily on China's vast market. So, what accounts for the self-defeating antagonism of their government toward Beijing? Could they be so stupidly short-sighted? Brenner, yes, just as the Europeans are in regard to Russia. There is not a strategic mind in a position of authority anywhere in the West. The United Kingdom is run by a bunch of buffoons who live in a jewel in the crown mantle world, while Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison is just posturing. He will be brought up short when the economic losses inevitably hit Australia's population. Against that, however, the big news is Japan, where Fumio Kishida, the new prime minister, has shifted the country's attitude to the PRC by at least 90 degrees. In a breakthrough cordial exchange with China's President Xi last week, both leaders reportedly agreed to pursue constructive and stable relations based on increased dialogue. Finian, do you see the U.S. eventually coming to accept the emergence of a multipolar world and desisting from its hegemonic ambitions? What needs to happen in the U.S. for that to occur? Brenner, in the short to midterm, no. There is neither the mind nor the political leadership. I fear that we'll need something like the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, when the U.S. and Soviet Union came to the brink of in order to get people's heads screwed on straight. At both the elite and popular level, it's only fear of war that, on a purely pragmatic basis, will break the comatose intellectual and political state that the United States is in. That's pretty damn depressing, frankly. Now, There are a few other developments that I certainly want to add here in the absence of any queries or questions by way of email. Oh, we do have a question of where to get a copy of the video from the veterans. I'll work on that. POGSF, let me go back to the email address there from that report by the veterans and recapitulate. Yes. POGSOF.com. See if that works, Elias. POGFOS. See if that works. SOF. You got the POG and the S and the F, but there's an O in between it, .com. See if that will work. Let me know. Meanwhile, we have Governor DeSantis stepping up to relieve the supply chain crisis. Very astute politician, in my opinion, who seems to have some principles. The supply chain shortages hitting retail inventories around the country have motivated Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to invite distributors and shippers to utilize Florida's ports to ease the bottlenecks in California and other states. At a press conference in Jacksonville, DeSantis said the ports in the Sunshine State have started to take on different ships and are offering incentives to distributors to reroute goods through the state. The governor said the state has a capacity to an ability to help alleviate these log jams. He said that Jacksonville Port, along with others, is proactive in attracting shipping through incentive programs. He points out the German shipper, Hapag-Lloyd, as an example of a company that has rerouted cargo to the Jacksonville Port. The Ponte Verde Recorder reported that the company's route adjustments would bring around 1,000 additional shipping containers through Jacksonville for at least 8 weeks. He added Port Everglades accepted at least 2 additional container ships with thousands of containers initially scheduled to arrive at different ports. DeSantis said at his press conference that Florida ports already operate 24/7, which is what should be happening anyway. Since his administration in 2019, he said Florida had allocated nearly $1 billion to more than 70 seaport infrastructure projects. In July, the state government allocated an additional $250 million. Biden announced last week ports in Southern California would operate around the clock in an attempt to address backlogs, labor shortages, and reduce stock. At that time, at least 25 container ships were waiting to dock and unload at the Port of Los Angeles, with anchorage time running out to be more than 11 days. President of the Florida Ports Council, Mike Rubin, said last week, Florida is open for business and the solution to help resolve the global supply chain crisis. He added that cargo ships can move their products by routing through Florida in less time than they spend waiting off the coast of Florida. Now, let me just add, we know this is deliberate. While Biden said he was going to be, you know, directing that the ports in Los Angeles and in Long Beach be operating on a 24-hour-a-day basis, we have reports from the ports that nothing has been done to implement. And given what we're hearing from the deputy secretary, warning that unvaxxed Americans shortage will continue until everyone is jabbed, the Biden administration has no intention of doing anything about this until the death jab has been given to every American. And indeed, it's peculiar who's exempted by the Biden administration from taking the jab. I mean, think about it. If the jab works and if the pandemic is real, then these groups which are exempt ought to be the first. They ought to be mandatory to line up for exempt from Biden's vaccine mandate. Congress and the legislative branch, congressional staff, judicial branch, White House staff, CDC employees, FDA employees, U.S. Postal employees, National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Disease employees, Pfizer employees, Moderna employees, most absurd of all, illegal aliens exempt from Biden's vaccine mandate. Give us a break. If, I repeat, if the pandemic were real and if the vaccines worked, these would be precisely the bodies, certainly the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary branch you'd want most to be vaccinated. But instead, they're being exempted. Now, what sense does that make unless the situation we're in is 180 degrees the opposite of what we're being told? Just as so much falls into that category. It turns out, too, in another story I want to share with you, that Representative Thomas Massey, I believe from Massachusetts, questions Attorney General Merrick Garland about FBI agents and informants participating in agitating on January 6th. During a House Judiciary Committee hearing today, this was on October 21st, Representative Thomas Massey questioned Attorney General Merrick Garland about FBI agents and possible FBI informants planted in the crowd in D.C. to organize events. Within the questioning, Massey presented Garland with a picture of Ray Epps, E-P-P-S, a former leader with the Arizona chapter of Oath Keepers, attempting to agitate the crowd. Massey also played a video highlighting how Ray Epps was one of the key people trying to stir up trouble and create an agitated mob response. Ray Epps is an interesting possibility because he was never arrested or charged by the FBI. As pointed out by Sean Davis on Twitter, at one point the FBI had his picture up on its page of people it wanted to question. Not only was he not arrested, but his photograph was quietly removed by the FBI. Now, let me mention, if you want to get an insight into what happened on January 6th, if you go to my blog, my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, where hundreds of videos are archived, if you scroll all the way down to April 17th, you'll find a 21-minute video of what actually was taking place, filmed right there in the crowd. You can see there were managers and directors telling people where to go to, what to do. You can see the vast majority were conducting themselves peacefully. You can see and judge for yourself the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, which was completely unwarranted on any legal grounds. She didn't represent a threat. You're not permitted to use lethal, deadly force unless you're in fear of bodily harm. Although, of course, you have the right to protect your home against an intruder, you're entitled to shoot them dead. But this officer just came out and fired. Now, frankly, when you watch the video, you'll see there was no reaction from the crowd. They didn't duck, try to get out of the way, as though something had just happened that was unexpected. Instead, it was the opposite. Not only did it appear to be orchestrated. It appeared to be orchestrated, but Ashley, I do not believe, was actually shot for the following reason. When she sort of fell backwards, they were very gradual, you know, laying her on the ground, sought to comfort her. There was no apparent blood, though she was shot in the neck. There ought to have been blood everywhere. We see what appears to be the transfer of a packet of fake blood to the body in order to be administered. There's no EMT response, and they take her out, just carrying her, not on a stretcher. This is all very, very strange, very, very bad. But most importantly, I would observe the response of the crowd present there when this guy comes out to fire the shot contradicts this idea that it was that this was actually real. The author here, by the way, is making a lot of important points. This is Sunday at, I believe this is Conservative Treehouse. Perhaps I'm wrong, but the only time I recall in modern history aggressive and illegal federal activity was halted in mid-effort was the example of the Clyde Bundy Ranch in 2014. armed citizens forced federal authorities, including the FBI, to back down in response to their loss. Former AG Eric Holder vowed to revive a domestic terrorism task force. Contemplate that response against a 2021 statement of the FBI saying domestic violent extremists represent the greatest threat to our nation. From the worldview of the DOJ FBI, law-abiding U.S. citizens pushed to the point of taking up defensive arms against federal agents are a threat. Ergo, the newest definition of domestic violent extremists to define who the FBI views as their most substantive enemy. 2 years after the Bundy Ranch standoff, the FBI shot and killed LaVoy Finicum. It was an ambush, fulfilling their promise to eliminate extremists as defined by their worldview. They were also fully aware the Boston Marathon bombers, the Sarnoff brothers, before they executed their plot, except, of course, the Sarnoffs didn't execute the plot. As I've reported many times, the backpacks don't match. They photoshopped the brothers into the scene at the marathon, but they didn't bother to make sure they were wearing backpacks like those that contained the explosives, which were black nylon, relatively compact, had a white square sewn upon them. Instead, Tamerlan, you can see more further in the distance, is wearing a big baggie. It's a dark-colored backpack, but doesn't at all resemble those that exploded. Zocher is wearing a silver or gray backpack. No correspondence whatsoever. Indeed, it's clear the FBI, which reported about the backpacks that exploded, are in the position to know that Tamerlan and Zocher, whom, by the way, they'd had under surveillance for at least 5 years, were not responsible for the marathon bombing. Indeed, John Remington Graham, a retired professor of law, has submitted an amicus curiae brief initially to the First Circuit Court in Massachusetts, now to the U.S. Supreme Court, pointing out this evidence that exonerates Zocher completely. The FBI, again, knew in advance of the Pulse nightclub shooter, Omer Mateen, and were tipped off by a local sheriff, and about the San Bernardino terrorists, the Boston Marathon bombers, Parkland High School. All of those are fraudulent. All of those are fake, every one of them. Regarding the Pulse Club, the permit for the club had expired 3 years in advance. That's when they repainted the club from white to black to show that it was closed. As far as San Bernardino, that was a joke. They even had a car, which was under some slight remote control, had all kinds of stickers for holes. The woman who was in the front seat was actually, when she fell out of the vehicle on the right side, handcuffed behind her back, and it was a mannequin. It was a dummy. Boston Marathon, I've already explained. The Boston cops were on bullhorns calling out, "This is a drill. This is a drill." The Boston Globe was tweeting that a bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. You hear about the marathon bombing every show we do. Books about all these are available at moonrockbooks.com, where Amazon, of the 12 books we have published there, has banned six of them. Six of the 12 books published at moonrockbooks.com have been banned by Amazon. Not only my Sandy Hook book, but also the Boston bombing book, the Orlando and Dallas book, the Moon Rock book, the Parkland book, the Charlottesville book. They don't want you to know what really happened. Meanwhile, Sundance concludes with some powerful observation. What the Federal Security Service, FSB, is to the internal security of the Russian state is the FBI in performing the same function for the U.S. federal government. The FBI is a U.S. version of the Russian police state, and the FBI is deployed almost exclusively to attack domestic enemies of those who control government while they protect the interests of the U.S. Fourth Branch. That's a clear and accurate domestic prism to contextualize their perceived mission. Domestic violent extremists pose the greatest threat to their objective. In another way, we, the people who fight against government abuse and usurpation, are the FBI's actual and literal enemy. Let me be very clear with another brutally obvious example. Antifa could not exist as an organization capable of organizing and carrying out violent attacks against her targets, which includes looting and pillaging and arson, without the full support of the FBI. If the FBI wanted to arrest members of Antifa who are actually conducting violence, they could do it easily with little effort. It is the absence of any action by the FBI toward Antifa that tells us the FBI is enabling the violent extremist behavior to continue. If you accept that transparent point of truth, then you realize the FBI definition of domestic violent extremism is something else entirely. Let me add, by the way, the Vladimir Putin speech you need to watch. He's showing a lot of events in the background there. It's very well done. It's on my BitChute site again, BitChute channel, Jim Fasser. Go there, exploit it as a resource. You're going to find a whole lot that's valuable taking place there. Meanwhile, thanks for joining me today. Back on Wednesday for the event.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.